B-Pod Studios.
All right, the Eagles have been very active, but there's the Aguilar thing hanging over. There's the running back possibility, and now there's a linebacker situation. For the latest, let's talk to the man who covers the Birds for ESPN.com, Tim McManus. Hello, Tim.
What's going on, Mike?
Tim, let's settle this Sandra Bullock thing. You look like a man with good taste.
Yeah, I like to think so.
Are you a fan?
I'm not. Well, I think that she's pretty, but not hot. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
When I look at her, I'm like, yeah, she's an attractive woman.
Right.
But
there's really no sex appeal to her.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
My preference, I like Rachel McAdams. That's probably.
I was just going to mention Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
I was just going to throw her in there.
Yeah,
nope, like the flag.
You know the cartoon where the hearts come out of your eyes, like that. You know that's me for Rachel McAdams.
I agree with you. I'm a big Rachel McAdams fan.
I understand.
Same page here, Mike.
Real fast, just the reason it's a flag is she's cuter as a brunette. She's always a blonde in movies, except for Wedding Crashers. So it's a flag on the play.
Wedding Crashers is her peak.
I've seen her many times.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, she's a natural brunette. You can tell it's a fake blonde. All right, let's talk about the realities now of the Philadelphia Eagles and what they did and what they are planning to do. First of all, the Aguilar thing going to come down today. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, from what I'm being told is that the plan is to keep Aguilar on the roster when it turns 4 o'clock, and that's when his $9.4 million for this upcoming season becomes guaranteed. And my read on it is the intention is to keep him. And for him to have that number at least for now. I'm not picking up the vibe that there is a renegotiation that is imminent. Doesn't mean it won't happen down the line, but not something that is currently at the finish line or anything like that. So it seems like they're just going to be rolling with Aguilar at that $9.4 million for now.
That seems to be against the grain of how they think, because he's now, with that number, the sixth highest paid player on the team.
It is a big number. And, Jeffrey is making a big number. He's around $12 million in salary this year. And the Deshaun Jackson contract is going to come in at 3 years, $27 million. That averages out to $9 million per season. And so there is a lot of money that's invested at the wide receiver position. And that seems not like a common practice necessarily for the Eagles. And so, I was thinking, and I think a lot of people were kind of thinking, well, that must mean that Aguilar's on his way out, or they're going to restructure this thing. Something's got to give, but at the moment, nothing's giving, and it just seems like they're sort of loading up at receiver.
Wow. So they're paying their receivers, and not counting Goddard, $35 million for four dudes.
That's a lot of cash. It's a lot of money. I mean, one thing to keep in mind is they're not always going to have this luxury. I think that Wentz. He's eligible for a new contract, and within the next year he'll probably get one. And once you start committing $30 plus million to your quarterback, you can't carry as many veteran players at such big numbers as the Eagles have the luxury of now. And so I guess part of their thinking would be, instead of weakening our slot receiver position, if we can figure out a way to make the numbers work, why not put our best foot forward while we have this kind of financial flexibility? And that seems to be what they're doing.
All right. Now, a lot of analysts are split on the acquisition of Deshaun Jackson. What's your stand on this?
I think it's good from a field perspective. This offense clearly works best when they have a stretch receiver working opposite a big physical one like Jeffrey. You could see it with Andy Reid's offense when he was here in Philadelphia. You could see it in Andy Reid's offense now in Kansas City with Tyreek Hill. And you can see how the Doug Peterson's offense operates when they have a guy who can burn down the sidelines as opposed to when they can't. And last year it was a big problem for them. So I think it's going to be a bonus. And if you look at sort of the metrics surrounding Deshaun Jackson's year last year, his speed hasn't really fallen off and he's still able to get it done with the deep ball. So I think short term, it's good for them. As we know, there's more to the puzzle when it comes to Jackson. He wears his emotions on his sleeves. When he's in a bad mood, you know it. He has the ability to change the temperature of a team. At least he did his first time around. And so that's something that, you have to know what you're getting into. You have to have a plan for it. And, You know, and so you can't say it's going to be a slam dunk thing chemistry wise, but at least they have a history with them, and they feel like, you know, bringing them back in, they know what they're doing, and that it's going to be a benefit for the team.
All right, interesting dynamic, though, because in the offseason, the least we learned is that Carson Wentz has a little bit of a red ass. So now you've got the wide receiver. Like, how is that? Some quarterbacks can play that off. Like, a guy like Foles will probably be able to play that off and handle it. How is this these two A-type personalities click?
Great question. And one thing that I'm fascinated about is how Jackson sort of reintegrates into the locker room, because he left as an alpha. He left as one of, you know, the influencers. And now he comes in, and there's already sort of an alpha group established. And so how does he fit in? What's his chemistry going to be like with Jeffrey and with Aguilar? And as you mentioned, maybe most importantly, with Carson Wentz. I would say that, you know, winning is a cure-all, and what can make a wide receiver happiest is if the team is winning and he's being productive, and then when he's running all of those nine routes, that there's someone actually slinging the ball to him. And I think that Wentz will be really comfortable, you know, just chucking it up there for Jackson to get. And so I think that's really a lot of it that can ease whatever potential issues that you would come across, is that if they have that on-field chemistry, that'll take care of it.
I'm just curious now that he comes back to, yo, man, I'm open. What right. What's the quarterback? What his response? Donovan's was to say, "Shut up, T.O." Right?
That's why this thing's not a slam dunk, because we haven't seen those two in the same bubble before, and because I don't think that Wentz has really had that. I mean, a lot of this, what was good about the 2017 offense in particular, is everybody had sort of the selfless mentality, and I don't care if I get one catch or five catches as long as we win, yada yada, and that was kind of the mantra for him, and to be determined whether that continues with Jackson in the fold.
All right, the Malik Jackson signing, a real good signing for them, although it leaves them depth wise on the defensive line. Where were they look to go from there?
Yeah, I think it's a good signing for them, that he fits what Jim Schwartz likes out of an interior defensive lineman, somebody that can slash, that can penetrate in the pass rush, and Jackson is really good at that. He's topped out at 8 sacks, and I think it's going to be a good situation with him with Fletcher Cox. Can you double team Cox all the time when you have somebody that is good of a pass rusher as Jackson is? And that's something that will be a good problem, you know, for the Eagles, and a bad problem for opposing offensive coordinators. So I do think that that's good, and I don't think they're done, but they are set up in a position where they don't really have to reach now further in free agency, and they believe that they're going to come out of the draft more than likely with a defensive lineman or two. So I think that they're in pretty good shape with you know, the starters, with Derek Barnett and Brandon Graham and Jackson and Cox, with Chris Long, as if he decides not to retire, coming back. You have a decent semblance of a rotation that will be added to between now and April.
All right, they'll stay defensively then. The linebacker situation, the Hicks going to Arizona, they don't seem to be that perturbed by it, because they're mostly a nickel-dime team. But what are they looking to add a linebacker, free agency, or will they draft that position?
I think that they're going to add a linebacker or two before it's all said and done, for sure. I mean, you can understand them not paying kind of big money for Hicks given his injury history, but they're going to have to replenish some way, somehow. You know, you have Bradham, and you know, they seem to like Kamu Grugier-Hill to a certain extent. Nate Gary's in there. They re-signed Paul Warlow. But you're going to have to add depth and give yourself some options, especially if injury comes and hits them. And so there's a couple guys that are out on the market. It's not like a very robust linebacker market, but Zach Brown just got released from Washington. Guys like Josh Bynes, KJ Wright, Jamie Collins are out there. I don't know that a lot of them are household names that people get super excited about. And I don't know that the Eagles are going to be real aggressive in their spending when it comes to linebacker. But you can be sure that they'll add probably a veteran linebacker, and we'll be looking in the draft.
All right, running back. Do you expect them to sign a player like Tevin Coleman? Now, Ajayi apparently still in the picture. Sproles apparently still in the picture. Like, what's going to happen here at the running back situation?
Yeah, I think that they're going to add a couple running backs, and I think that one will happen during this free agency period. You know, there's some people around the league that think, or were going into this free agency period expecting the Eagles to go pretty hard charging after Coleman. And so we'll see if that ends up being the case. The issue there or the circumstances they're dealing with, as it seems like and would be logical to think that they're not alone in their interest for Coleman. And so it depends on what the numbers get to and where the Eagles walkaway numbers are to see if that happens or not. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if they are pursuing him. And I think the, you know, the other guy that maybe you could look at as another option would be Jordan Howard. That would be a trade scenario. But, and, he's not the same type of ideal fit as Coleman. Coleman can do it. He can line up anywhere. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, whereas Howard's more traditional. He's lining up, behind center, and he's more of a power back, straight ahead kind of runner. But the Eagles have been successful with that as well. I mean, just look at some of the backs that they had when they won the Super Bowl. And there's a couple different ways to attack this. So I would think that Coleman would be sort of the preference, but, you know, if that doesn't work out, there's a guy like Jordan Howard, Duke Johnson from Cleveland. Both of those would be trade scenarios, but I do think the Eagles are going to walk away with the back.
So no Ajayi, no Sproles, you're thinking?
Well, I mean, Sproles could come back. Ajayi, he's got a lot of injury stuff going on with him. He had the broken back last year. He's always had sort of a bad knee, and then he gets the ACL. So maybe if it's at the right price, but I don't know that they're going to bank on him being like a main part of it, or, you know, of him being sort of the feature back necessarily.
All right. Sounds good. And in the draft, are you thinking they're going to go defensive line? Do you think they'll add a running back? What's the plan of attack, you think?
Some of it sort of depends on the way the rest of free agency shakes out, but I do think that, you know, this is probably the biggest chance they have had since 2009 of taking a running back up high. And, you know, they have 2 second rounders. I think it increases the chances that maybe they'll be aggressive there. And, you know, linebacker, I know that they had their eyes on linebackers. They had their eyes on running backs and in the defensive secondary when they were at the combine. And for sure, defensive line is somewhere that they're going to go at least once, I think, with their draft pick. So those are probably the areas that they're eyeing up.
Timmy, sounds good. It's an outgoing prize. You win 2 tickets to a Sandra Bullock film festival.
You got anything in the Rachel McAdams category?
Yeah, well, Rachel's next week.
All right, you got it.
All right. Tim Mattis.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.